so nervous.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Me too.
Micah McCarty.
He's a big shot.
On the Jack Spring. Look at my screen. Look. I took that picture too, by the way.
Wow.
House Speaker Mike Johnson joining us. Speaker, good morning.
Hey, guys. It is a good morning. Much better morning on Capitol Hill.
Absolutely. Before we get to that, I just real quick, 20 seconds. Are you in a motorcade right now?
No, I just stepped out. I got to the Capitol on time. We ran sirens, so you wouldn't have to hear that.
Wow.
How many people are in the car with you when you leave?
I got, believe it or not, I have three Suburbans, I have a police car in the front and in the back, and I have a tactical unit, literally a truck full of guys in SWAT gear with their guns drawn at all times. It's crazy times.
You can't even believe it. So the government shutdown, is it over? What is the status? Give us the lowdown.
Well, it's the beginning of the end. Last night, they had a successful cloture vote. You know, 60-40 was the vote last night. Only one Republican, Rand Paul, who I can never figure out, voted against it. But you had eight Democrats cross over, and they did the right thing. You know, mm-hmm. This is madness. Mm-hmm. This is now the longest shutdown in U.S. history, and some have called it the Seinfeld shutdown. It's literally about nothing. Chuck Schumer is the one that is the architect of the shutdown. He changed his tune almost daily. He kept moving the ball, you know, changing his demands. It was never about health care or any other issue. It was about him getting political cover from the rise of Marxism and the Democratic Party in his state.
Now, do they have to vote again, and then it goes to you guys on the House side?
Yes, they're working on the next stage of it. We expect that they will fast forward it, and no one will hold it up. And so that means instead of the 30 hours for each next stage of debate and all that, they'll run through it quickly, hopefully, and get it done maybe as early as today. So I'm going to have all the House members on a 36-hour return notice. That's how much time it takes to get everybody back, because we have people all the way on the West Coast and, you know, even overseas. So they'll get here, and we'll vote ASAP to get the government back open. And this, what happened last night, y'all, vindicates the position I've had since the beginning. Remember, the House did the right thing. We did the obvious thing. We passed a continuing resolution, a clean resolution, no partisan gimmicks attached at all, just simple, keep the lights on. I did it back September 19th. It seems like a lifetime ago now, but we've been waiting for the Senate to do the right thing. They finally are moving in that direction.
So your vote could be Wednesday or Thursday is what you're planning or looking at?
As soon as possible. I would love to do it on Wednesday. Then that can be possible, and then everybody gets relief. And look, included in this vote, okay, is that obviously the government reopens completely until January 30th, which is just ironically my birthday. I don't know. Maybe it's a good omen. I don't know. We keep it open until then, and we'll work everything out between then and now and then. It will fully fund the SNAP program all the way through the end of the next fiscal year, which is September of 2026. We're going to make sure all the federal workers get their back pay that they've had to endure this terrible time during the shutdown. And we will keep government in operation again. There are lots of debates to be done on the unfinished business for the end of this year, but we got time to do that. And we'll get everybody back, and we'll be working around the clock to get it done.
Mike, you faced criticism for not having the House open during this shutdown. How do you answer that criticism?
Well, I've just been vindicated. I mean, what they wanted us to do is crazy things. Remember, the counter proposal that the Senate, that Chuck Schumer and the Senate Democrats filed to our simple nonpartisan continuous was to spend $1.5 trillion with a T of brand new spending at a time when the country cannot afford it. But it was on crazy things. They were demanding we restore $200 billion to fund health care for illegal aliens again. That's taxpayers would pay for that. They were demanding that we send billions and billions of dollars back overseas to foreign countries for crazy social programs like LGBTQI awareness in the Horn of Africa and stuff like that. I mean, just a long list of madness. They wanted to pull $50 billion out of the Rural Hospital Support Fund that we just got signed into law on July 4th. It was a Republican priority. They wanted to strip it out. And all kinds of other crazy stuff. They wanted to fund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Right. I mean, that's where it was.
$1.5 trillion of crazy things that they knew that we could never agree with, that I would never allow.
Let's talk SNAP just a minute. The president won the Supreme Court battle. He's now directed states who are paying full SNAP benefits to stop, or they could face problems. Louisiana's not paying full benefits, but we are paying some. Should Louisiana keep doing that?
Well, it should all be a moot point here now in the next 48 hours. So Governor Landry sent me a text last night. He and I are going back and forth. I'm trying to get him a good answer. Hats off to Louisiana, one of the handful of states that took initiative to make sure that people literally didn't go hungry because of the Democrats' nonsense up here. And they were doing heroic work. And by the way, the White House did not appeal those rulings gleefully. It was reluctantly. The problem is there was no money left in the SNAP account. And so we had a federal judge basically violating the separation of powers and telling the executive branch they had to raid other bank accounts.
Where does the SNAP money go, though? I mean, the money's still coming in. That's what I didn't understand.
Well, on the state level, they're basically using state funds and moving things around and praying that they get reimbursed. And obviously, we're going to work to make sure that happens. But the problem is there was this contingency fund that the Democrats kept saying, oh, they need to use. Well, it costs a little over $9 billion a month to fund SNAP because it goes to 42 million recipients. Okay, we only had a little over $5 billion in the account. So the point the White House was making to the court is that there's not enough. We want to fund them. I mean, remember, the White House bent over backwards to make sure that our troops...
She'd built an empire on Instagram socialism.
The WIC funding, the Women, Infants, and Children funds for the nutrition supplement were funded. They had to be creative and find other accounts to do those things, but those accounts did not exist for SNAP. So the problem was the court was ordering the White House to do something that they literally did not have the money to do. That was the problem.
President is talking about sending us all $2,000 stimulus checks now over the weekend. He put that out there again. You think that's something Congress will support and pass?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I talked with him about it last night. I was with him. I went to the Commanders game just so we could have time, FaceTime, because... he's been traveling and I've been all over the place. But there's a lot of things we have to resolve. And look, the tariff revenue is bringing in, it'll be bringing trillions of dollars, okay? So the question that we all have to decide together, he and I and the whole Congress, is do we want to pay down some of the national debt or do you want to somehow distribute that in payments to families and all of that? There are different ideas, different priorities. We've got to figure it out. But, I mean, my first inclination is to try to tackle this federal debt, y'all, because it's $38 trillion, and the higher it goes, the more that costs everyone in the long run. So we've got to be good stewards of this. So we'll figure it out.
House Speaker Mike Johnson, unbelievable that you agreed to join us this morning. I know it's a busy day, and we've got lots to go ahead.
I know you do. The Supreme Court is looking at that, or there were some federal judges that are trying to block Trump's tariff moves. What's the latest on that?
Well, we're awaiting the outcome of the Supreme Court case, and they had the oral argument last week, and you know, lots of people trying to read between the tea leaves there. But I told them I used to litigate those federal court cases. Don't read too much into what the judges are saying from the bench. You know, this is sort of part of the judicial review process. So we're hopeful that it'll get sorted out. I mean, the president's use of tariffs has created real leverage in America's trade.
Absolutely.
The results speak for themselves. So, you know, as he points out all the time, free trade only works when it's fair, you know. So I hope the court will give deference to his ability to use that. The Congress has a role, of course. I'm a jealous guardian of Article 1 of the Constitution. The legislative branch is the most important one. But I don't think that the president has stepped outside of his lane in using that authority as he has thus far. And that's what the court ultimately has to decide.
Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, thank you so much for jumping on with us. We love you. We appreciate you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Same here. Great to hear your voices, guys.
You too. Talk to you soon. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Of course, now, since we spoke with Speaker Johnson, the Senate did vote last night to advance to open the government back up. They did get 8 Democrats that came over, that grew a brain.
Rand Paul still voted against his Republicans.
Rand Paul, I don't understand him. Yeah. I can't get, honestly can't get a beat on him yet.
Right.
Because some of the things he says, I'm like, yeah. And then he does, I don't know.
I didn't hear what his you know, major malfunction was about it, but he didn't side with his Republicans. So I was kind of like, okay, what are you doing?
Today is Veterans Day.
Yes, it is.
So right after the news at the bottom of the hour, one of the greatest presidents in our history, Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
Ronald Reagan, the actor?
Thank you.
He was in that movie with the chimp.
I know, Bonzo.
Those are so fun. Man, yeah, exactly.
But he had a speech. We've got a little bit of that.
Yes, yeah.
That we'll play for Veterans Day.
You always tear up when you hear it, too, when you think about it, because he's at Arlington. And,
And Veterans Day is different than Memorial Day.
Yes.
We need to remember there is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Honoring veterans is different than Memorial Day.
Right.
And today's Veterans Day. It's a happy day.
This is honoring all veterans.
Right.
Living, dead, doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Past, present, whoever. And lots of free deals today, too. You can see that on the Keel Facebook page. A lot of restaurants rolling out the red carpet for veterans, active duty and military veterans. So thank you. Sunday is the big parade, 2 o'clock at the State Fair.
Yes.
And all veterans get in free to the State Fair on Sunday, so, and their families. So
it's
that's kind of cool.
Final day of the fair, too.
Sure is. Absolutely. So it's a big week to thank the veterans, and, you know, it's going to be a great week.
Ronald Reagan, right after the news at the bottom of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.com.
You.
Back with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, of course, we're a military community. Barksdale Air Force Base, been here for a very long time.
You bet.
Veterans have a very special place in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us have family members that have served. If most of our listeners, a lot, have served.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Both my grandfathers. Aaron, can you imagine? I think, one of them, 3 wars.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy to think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a federal holiday, obviously. You know, the government offices that were open, they are not today.
Mm-hmm.
Postal Service doesn't run, I believe. I think it's a day off for them. I don't know if banks are closed or not. I'm not sure about that.
Probably.
So it's a holiday for a lot of folks, but it's a day we need to say thanks. That's really all we need to do. And I always go back to I think this was from 1985, President Ronald Reagan, a Veterans Day speech. This is just a small piece of it. At the cemetery at Arlington, where he laid a wreath.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to honor, obviously, military members that gave up their lives, but essentially all military members.
Moments ago, I placed a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier. And as I stepped back and stood during the moment of silence that followed, I said a small prayer. And it occurred to me that each of my predecessors has had a similar moment, and I wondered if our prayers weren't very much the same, if not identical. We celebrate Veterans Day on the anniversary of the armistice that ended World War I. The armistice that began on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. And I wonder, in fact, if all Americans' prayers aren't the same as those I mentioned a moment ago. For all we can ever do for our heroes is remember them and remember what they did, and memories are transmitted through words. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up 2 lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. And all we can do is remember. There's always someone who is remembering for us. No matter what time of year it is or what time of day, there are always people who come to this cemetery, leave a flag or a flower or a little rock on a headstone. And they stop and bow their heads and communicate what they wished to communicate. I think sometimes of General Matthew Ridgway, who the night before D-Day, tossed sleepless on his cot and talked to the Lord and listened for the promise that God made to Joshua. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. We're surrounded today by the dead of our wars. We owe them a debt we can never repay. All we can do is remember them and what they did and why they had to be brave for us. All we can do is try to see that other young men never have to join them. Today, as never before, we must pledge to remember the things that will continue the peace. Today, as never before, we must pray for God's help in broadening and deepening the peace we enjoy. Let us pray for freedom and justice and a more stable world. And let us make a compact today with the dead. A promise in the words for which General Ridgway listened, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Kiel.
Okay, so Brian Kelly, former LSU head coach, is now suing LSU for his entire $54 million buyout.
He wants it all now?
I don't blame the guy. You signed a contract. You told me you'd pay me $54 million. And I'm sure there were stipulations in that.
Over 10 years. So we need to pay him over 10 years.
Okay. But they're trying to negotiate down. I don't know if he's trying to get it all now, but they're trying to negotiate down to like $20 million or something.
Right.
And he said, nope, not taking that.
Yeah, the last report I saw was $27 million, and they were invoking some sort of morals clause, which right. Nobody is saying why, what that has to do with anything.
But now if he brings suit, that can possibly come out.
Absolutely. They will, you know, they'll take testimony if they have to, depositions, and move on. I don't know. He obviously... Because he is now filing suit, legal action, mm-hmm. I would be highly doubtful if there's any dirt on his side of the closet. He's right. Not going to do that. He's going to try to negotiate and work it out. And don't bring all this out. The fact that he's filed suit leads me to believe he's got a pretty good case. But, again, the contract is 10 years. Are we obligated to pay him all off now because we let him go? Or can we pay him over time?
Right.
And, you know, is it still will the private donor's name be brought out now? Because now a private donor apparently is paying him off rather than the state. Wow. Will we learn that?
What is your motivation if you're a millionaire or billionaire in Baton Rouge to pay off a fired head football coach? Why would you shell out $50 million?
To save the university money. That they would have to take from other funds,
I would guess. Consider that a donation to the university,
yeah,
I guess?
Plus, if you do that, you get a lot of juice. You know, if you need to, if you need to serve your chicken fingers at parties or something, you probably get allowed to do that. Did I just say that out loud?
What?
I mean, you know the speculation. Your lemonade, too. You could serve that.
There you go. I got you.
I don't know that that's who's doing it, but that's been a lot of the talk.
You don't think that's a suite for life?
Oh, yeah, you get all kind of juice with that. If you pull that trigger and write that check, you get all kind of juice.
There's an orange cone in the parking space right next to the gate.
Abso-freaking-lutely. You get a golf cart meeting you at your car.
Yeah.
Riding you up in. You get all kind of little perks if you do that.
Interesting. Now, if you were, well, we got to take a break, but I want to ask you a question after.
Okay.
Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710Kiel.com.
Break breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarthy on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, you're the athletic director at, Clemson or, no, Penn State. Penn All State right. fired their coach.
Okay.
Okay. Brian Kelly has sued now his former university, his former employer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still consider Kelly for a position? Knowing he has now brought suit against a former employer, does that sway you at all?
Well, I would have to see if the former employer is refusing to pay him. And I mean, now it's been, has it been 2 weeks, 3 weeks? I don't know, since he was fired. And he's trying to stir, you know, to get his money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If he immediately sues him without trying to work it out,
right.
I'm not hiring him. But if the time goes by and he's fighting for his rights, that doesn't give him as big a black eye for me. But I think he probably needed to wait about a month before suing. Because, I mean, it ain't like right. he's missing meals. I mean, he's doing all right. He's got some money in the bank.
Yeah.
You know?
Did he join Orgeron on the beach?
Yeah. I mean, he's not worried about his SNAP card being declined.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So
absolutely.
The suit, is it premature? But, you know, he's probably got a clock ticking. He's got so long before he can file the suit. He's got a year, I bet, something like that. And he probably is still in the process of trying to find another job because this is the window. And so he's going to be traveling a lot, trying to get another gig. So he wants to get that started so he can forget about it and go travel, trying to find another job. So,
well, he can do that while his lawyers do all that.
Yeah, yeah. I just, you know, I'm not sure. He's a good coach. He's not a great coach. LSU has okay. to have a great coach.
So who, okay, now my next question. Who out there would you, I told you what my buddy said, Saban, that'd be my choice.
Saban's up there. I'm a big Lane Kiffin fan too.
Are you really?
I am. Yes. I'd be real happy with Lane Kiffin. Lane's not coming though. He, after all the hullabaloo.
Okay. So
that's
is that definite?
No. I mean, I'm speculating.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I just don't think that's going to happen.
I didn't know if you'd heard something I hadn't heard.
But we're still seeing the post that there was a private plane that carried Saban down there.
I've never been a huge Lane Kiffin fan, okay?
Okay.
Not been a huge one. But I was not a Jeremy Shockey fan until he got to New Orleans.
And right.
And then he did. He matured a lot.
Yes, he
did. Being in the locker room with Drew Brees and Benjamin mm-hmm. Watson. I mean, he did mature a lot. And
yes.
I became a Jeremy Shockey fan.
Right.
So if
right.
Lane Kiffin comes to LSU, I might go, he ain't so bad.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we will see who LSU gets. The legal fight is on now. Kelly's suing. And
right.
we'll see what happens. How much is it going to cost us? I don't know.
Mike and McCarty, happy Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm.
101.7 FM, 710keel.com. FM 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty saying happy Veterans Day today. If you have the day off, congratulations. Okay, yesterday you said you went to go see this movie, Sarah's Oil.
Mm-hmm, I did.
And it was very good. Produced by Russell Wilson.
Yes, and his wife, Sierra.
The NFL quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about... goes back to the early 1900s,
mm-hmm.
A young girl that got property and...
Yes, they gave out property because it was, I believe, Indian territory. And so folks who were living in that area on this Indian territory got some of the property. and she got 160 acres. She was
the Indians were giving it away?
No, it was the federal government. Yeah. And
that's a different movie.
Yeah, a different movie. She got 160 acres, and you know, at the time they gave the black folks land that they thought was never going to amount to anything. It was, you know, way out in the middle of nowhere,
okay.
You know, dry and, you know, wasn't going to be able to produce crops. I mean, she got a piece of cruddy land is what her family thought. This kid had a sense that there was oil on her land. And she knew that, you know, oil was making money for some people. And so she started to pursue it. And started to try to get the interest of some prospectors. And she did get the interest of one wealthy prospector who came out, drilled a well, and she signed a contract with him. I think it was a 3-month or 6-month contract. And he, early before the contract expires, shut it down, said, it's a dry hole. We're not finding anything. There's nothing here.
Okay.
And he goes away. Well, he goes away knowing there's oil down there. We just got to go deeper.
Okay.
So we got to scam her out of her property. So she finds another speculator, a real, you know, not moneyed guy who says, you know, maybe we can help. Anyway, long story short, it's a gusher of a well. In the end, it's a gusher of a well. And she beats the big guys, you know, she wins the battle and becomes a multimillionaire and goes into the, there was a cafe where they wouldn't serve her when she went in for her first meeting with this cat, and they wouldn't serve her lemonade. And he told the owner, give her a cup of lemonade, for crying out loud. She goes back and buys that diner. I mean, it was just a really well done story.
Okay.
Beautiful scenery. Sorry.
So locally, my point in bringing this up, you went to see it locally.
I did.
At a local theater.
I did.
A local theater that's been in the news.
Yes, I did. And I forgot about the story about why, and I ordered popcorn.
So that was my next question.
Yes, I did.
Did you get popcorn at this local theater?
I did.
That has or had an infestation, apparently.
Of little rodents. Yeah, I did. I ordered popcorn and a drink, which I always do at the movie theater. It's my one indulgence where I like sit and watch a movie.
You can't go to the movie theater and not get popcorn.
Now, they had changed their policy, I will tell you, when I got there, because I order everything online, and so I ordered my snacks online.
Of course you do.
When I got there, it was bagged up, and it was put on a shelf, you know, toward the front. So usually you go to the concession stand, and you pick up your popcorn. It's sitting on the counter, and then they pour your drink. Well, they already poured the drink, and they had the popcorn, and it was all in an enclosed bag that had sealed tape on the top of it. should have been a warning sign.
Out?
I don't know, but I forgot about that part of this question until I watched the movie. I'm like, oh, this was an incredible movie.
Enjoyed your popcorn,
yes,
popcorn with the little raisins in it.
Yes, had no raisins in it. There were no raisins in my popcorn.
No, you're right. Those weren't raisins.
And I'm going out the door, and as I look down to the left.
And that wasn't butter.
Yeah. I don't get butter, thank God. I look down to the left. I look down to the right, and there's big old rat traps, about 1 foot long, about 2 or 3 inches high off the ground, on either side of the doors.
Wow.
One is perpendicular to the door and one is parallel to the door. Now, I didn't see any critters, but it was the
new... No tail sticking out of any of them?
No, thank God. I would have freaked. And I was just getting ready
They weren't trying to hide them either, were they?
No, that's
what just...
And I had bust out the door. I was going out the door when I saw them and I went, oh no, I got to take pictures of this. So I took my pictures of the traps. And I think the theater is going to be inspected again in the next few days and to see if they have cleaned up their act. But I can tell you there was no evidence for me of any critters. I didn't see any critters in the traps. Not that I could. It's hard to see inside the traps, but I didn't see any tails sticking out or anything like that. It's funny to me. Everybody's just walking by. I'm like, no big deal. There's rat traps sitting right here in the hallway. They're right there in the hallway. Now, I did also notice something different, that the moment we get up to leave, the guy with the broom and all the cleaning supplies,
immediately,
he is standing right there. He is coming right in after us, getting all the popcorn off the floor, because the video that has been widely spread shows one of the little critters inside the theater. Yeah, in the theater where we drop all our popcorn on the floor and stuff, and you drop your Skittles. I mean, those have got to be the fattest rats in town with Skittles.
Genius.
Brilliant. M&M's down rats. There. And all the popcorn you can eat. How much popcorn do you spill when you... I spill a ton of it, always.
No. That's too expensive. Well, if I spill it, I reach down, I pick it up and eat it off the floor. Yeah.
The five-second rule does not count in a theater.
By the way, the five-second rule is bull schnozzle.
Really?
The way. Yes. Yeah. There's studies. They did petri dish studies of 5 second, 3 second, 1 second.
Same amount of germs.
No such thing as the 5 second rule.
I think there's some places the 5 second rule would be okay. I don't know.
I don't even like putting my feet on the theater floor. You think I'm going to eat off of it?
It is so sticky.
When
it
you stick so right, exactly.
Mm, oh, yeah.
So you did get the popcorn.
I did. And it had no special things in it. I got a text from a listener. If I was a rat, that's where I'd want to live.
Well, no kidding.
No doubt.
Free movies? Man.
Yeah, free movies all day.
Ratatouille.
Yeah, people are dropping stuff all the time. You're like, thank you.
Yeah, no
Thanks.
Kidding.
Appreciate. I love M&M's. By the way, get a milk dud next time. Holy cow.
We were sitting at a Chinese restaurant, and it was very, very crowded at lunch one day. And I kid you not, this really happened. From the kitchen, we could hear, this is true. We're all sitting there eating, and we're kind of toward the back. From the kitchen, we hear,
kitty, oh, man. Wow.
Aaron, everybody stopped and just burst out laughing. So when I left, I drove around back. And what had happened was they were cutting chicken and they were throwing the pieces in a pile and they were going to clean, you know, get them. But there were cats out in the back and outside. They were outside. And it was hilarious.
My gosh. Wow. That's crazy.
Not what you want to hear at your favorite Chinese restaurant.
Definitely not. I'm going again next week, so I'll have a better idea. And I think there's a health inspection this week or next.
Right.
So we will know, you know, what's the status of the theater. Have they cleaned up their act? I know they have changed companies. It was Ecolab Traps that I saw out. So they have a new company working on it. So hopefully they're all gone.
Well, yeah.
We hope.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
But you forgot about it. So it wasn't like you were being brave and going, I'm going to go ahead and get popcorn.
Yeah.
You just forgot.
Now that I think about it, I didn't eat my popcorn all the way to the bottom.
That's where all the raisins were.
101.7
FM, 710 Kiel.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Well, I walked during the break, went down the hallway to heat my coffee up.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious community coffee.
Yes.
Freshly ground. We get the whole bean bags. Oh, so good. Chica goes, what's up, Van Gogh?
Oh, wow. Wow. That's cold-blooded. You had a little procedure.
I just started laughing.
You got a bandage on the side of your face.
I've got a huge bandage on. You can't even see my ear.
It sticks out.
I had skin cancer.
Okay.
And it wasn't the kind that you could just, they say freeze it off, but it burns like a sum gun when they do it. and which they did something. I'm fair-skinned, freckles.
Sure.
And I ride a motorcycle. So I get a lot of sun, wind and sun.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like putting sunscreen on. I don't like putting bug spray on. I just don't like slathering that stuff on me. Maybe I should.
You should.
But there was a couple places. One on my right on my freaking next to my ear on my head.
Mm-hmm.
That they had to do a little surgery on.
Okay.
And then a place on my leg.
Do they knock you out, or is it local?
It was a local.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so if you see me, that's what it is.
All right.
It's not a big deal. It's fine. They had a pathology lab there and the office.
Okay.
At the office and go, yep, clear margins.
All right.
So we're all good. But I've never taken Tramadol before.
Tramadol? Yeah, what does that do?
I don't know. And I've got a bottle of it, but I didn't take any.
Hmm.
I know what Tylenol does.
Tramadol.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what knows, Ruben, our drug expert.
Hello.
Ruben.
Tramadol is kind of a lighter side opioid painkiller.
Okay. It didn't say opioid on it.
Wow. So you can't drive a vehicle if you're on Tramadol.
Yeah, right. but I had taken some Tylenol, so she goes, my wife, the registered nurse, goes, well, now you can't take the Tramadol. Don't take the...
Oh, yeah.
She goes, but put one next to the bed, and then if you wake up in the middle of the night hurting, you can take it. Well, I did wake up, like, two, and I was like, I'm not taking it because I may not get... When my alarm goes off at 4...
Oh,
I don't want to get another call from Ruben at 5:40 going, dude,
yeah.
Are you coming in today?
My favorite painting of all time, by the way, is Starry Night by Van Gogh.
Yeah, thank you.
Very good one. Yeah.
Here, look at this painting. 107.7 Thank you.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
By the way, I want to take just a moment. And yesterday afternoon, I hooked up my trailer, little utility trailer. Not little, it's pretty nice size because I've got a big mower. And helped my mom. I told you my mom's moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go get some things like a dryer and some things the movers didn't get. I got home, Aaron. When I got home from work, I changed clothes. Put on some shorts and a t-shirt. Because I knew I was going to be moving mm-hmm. stuff, heavy stuff. I grabbed my phone and my wallet. Hooked up my trailer. Went over to my mom's, we moved some stuff, came back, and I unhooked my trailer, and I walked up to the house, and there's the mail, reached into my mailbox, got the mail out, and pulled out my wallet. Was in the mailbox.
What? You had dropped it?
Apparently, that's the disturbing thing. I can't even remember that I set it on the truck, but I had it with my phone, and I still have my phone. And
did
it
your
looks
wife
like
pick it up it, and put it?
No, because she wouldn't have stuck it in the mailbox.
Somebody found it and put it in
apparently,
the mailbox?
And it looks like it's kind of scratched. It's a nice leather.
Okay.
And it looks like maybe it got run over.
Wow.
Aaron, some kind soul.
No cash missing?
There was no cash in my wallet.
Okay.
All of my credit cards were there, but there was no cash when I got it back. But there was no cash in it before.
I was going to say.
No, there was no cash. All my credit cards were in there. My ID, obviously. That's,
so they knew the house it went to in case it was in the road.
I had my address.
Wow.
So to whomever, and I don't know who it was, thank you.
You don't have cameras? Of course you do. You need to go check the footage.
The Ring camera.
Yes.
I didn't even think about that.
Look at your footage and see who it was.
Put it in my mailbox for me.
That's sweet.
I've got that Ring camera right on the porch.
Mm-hmm. You need to go look. I can't believe you haven't checked
that
yet.
Thank you for covering my dumbass.
I want the video of you dropping it, too. Give me that, please.
Well, I don't know. That's what it... I don't know.
Man.
I got no idea.
Wow.
It's in my pocket now, though. Thank you.
Yeah. $2,000 check. Do you want one from the government?
We'll talk about that, because Mike Johnson told us that.
Yeah.
I concur with Mike Johnson. I'll just say
part
that.
Part of me does. Part of me likes cash.
We'll take a break. 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Okay, I'm kind of with you. I'm kind of with you on this $2,000. It's a tariff. Isn't it like a tariff refund for...
Yes, because the U.S. is generating so much money from tariffs that there's a ton of money. And the president is pitching an idea of giving every American, not the upper income folks, but everybody else, a $2,000 rebate check.
Okay, good for him.
Mm-hmm.
I like what Mike Johnson said, though. We need to take care of this debt, this national $38 trillion
debt.
And I also would like to see them solidify Social Security.
Absolutely.
Put money into the Social Security program to solidify that for the next 50 years.
Because otherwise our children will not have it. I mean, we'll be the last generation to get it. Reuben might squeak in,
I don't know that even Reuben, according to some projections.
I know. It's not looking good. And he's paying in. Every moment he's sitting here,
sure,
some of his check is going into Social Security. How ticked would you be if you worked 40 plus years and you put money into Social Security and you get to the end of your time and they go, we don't have any money for you.
We don't have any more.
Sorry. I know you put all that in, but oopsie.
So that would be my first. Yeah, the national debt. I agree with Mike Johnson told us yesterday. He would like to see the president apply some of those billions to the national debt.
Yes.
But my first would, if you gave me a choice where I emperor of the world, I would solidify Social Security for as long as we could.
Yes. The problem is that you still have the Supreme Court to make a ruling. They have issued preliminary rulings allowing Trump to continue imposing the tariffs. They haven't issued their final ruling yet, which there are claims that he improperly used his emergency powers to order the tariffs. And if they say he didn't have that authority, then that bulk of money, can you imagine we have to give the tariffs back? How would that work?
Mm-mm.
Would China give us the tariffs back that they imposed on us?
Of course
not. So why are we paying them back the tariffs? I don't see that would happen. But that's what the court is saying, that we might actually have to pay the tariffs back if they were illegal tariffs.
I cannot tell you the level of ire I would have.
Because we know those other countries aren't going to pay us back ours.
I can't imagine. It's not like he's lining his own pockets.
No.
It's America first. Mm-hmm. He's taking care.
I know. I don't know how it's going to work. We'll have to watch and see.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.
Best stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Now, you were talking about new tech. Shreveport police getting new cameras?
They are. They have three of those mobile cameras that you can pull around on a trailer. You know, the one they put at the fairground sometimes? They have three of those. They're going to order two more. The chief told the Public Safety Committee yesterday that they need one in the riverfront on the stage. There are some blind spots in the stage area, and there are also some blind spots over there where the Nicky's was. So they need a camera for that area during high trafficked times. So they're ordering two more. Some of the cameras that are down there that may have been donated when the casinos first came in, they are what you call twin pod.
Dual head.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. And we have, the new ones are quad heads, which mm-hmm. is four. So there's four cameras on the pole so you can see entirely around. So they are also updating those dual heads to quads so that they will all, that'll cost a little bit of money. The new cameras cost about $5,000 each. And if there are any businesses that want to donate to the public safety fund, they would gladly appreciate that, I'm sure. Because, you know, dollars for public safety these days is tough.
Right.
But they are ordering two. They had to reject the bids for the initial two cameras because the low bid came from an out-of-state company. And they really need it to be a local company so that for service and any kind of response, they're here quickly and they can take care of the problem. But that wasn't put in the specs.
So it's not true that they were buying them off of an ad off of Facebook?
No, they didn't buy them off of an ad off of Facebook, okay. No. But, you
those
know,
cameras don't, it's
the thing is, you typically have to buy from the low bidder.
It's like a Temu camera.
But if you didn't put in the specs that you wanted that company also had to be responsive locally, then you can't just move to the second bidder and get the local company. You have to rebid so that others can step in and bid. So they're going to rebid them and then move forward and buy the additional cameras. So that's what they're working on.
So if you've got questions about this, Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault will be in studio tomorrow. Ask the Mayor segment.
Mm-hmm.
Brought to you by Lynch's Lawn and Fence.
Yes.
And you can submit your questions through the Keel app, which is free.
Right.
So if you don't have that app, you need to download it right now.
Mm-hmm.
You'll also get updates on our guests that we have lined up. You'll get the latest news and information.
Also on the app, we're going to be giving away Little River Band tickets.
Really?
Yes. Yes, we'll explain that coming up after 8 o'clock.
I saw them in concert, by the way.
Oh, they're good.
1976.
Woo! Man, I wasn't born yet.
Uh-huh. Ask the Mayor, brought to you by Lynch's Lawn and Fence. Tomorrow in the 7 o'clock hour, ask the Mayor anything you want. Be sure to download the free Keel app. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710Keel.com.
FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, and we have some monster-breaking political news this morning.
That's the great thing about live radio.
Yeah, boy. And I just got off the phone with Caddo Parish Commission President Stormy Gage Watts, who has officially confirmed she's running for mayor of Shreveport.
She just told us she's excited to start walking the streets of Shreveport, talking to the residents. And wants to build a better Shreveport.
Build a better Shreveport were her words. And she and I, we're going to talk about getting her to come in here and sit for an hour and answer your questions. Scott Hughes, political analyst. How big a shock is this to you this morning?
I think it's a pretty big shock. Like I say, when you texted me a few moments ago, I told you I'd not even heard the news. I mean, not only is it any cold, it's kind of a surprise. It's a person I wouldn't have picked to get in the mayor's race.
We were all thinking Senator Sam Jenkins would be the Democrat, the flank on the Democrat side, and that we'd been hearing Stormy Gage Watts was going to run for city council for James Green's seat. She's aiming much bigger, huh?
Well, I think she's aiming for the sky. Let's start with she said she's running. We'll see who files next year. And you hit the key I would go to. Again, this is cold. We're just hearing this. But she's never served at the city level. She has been on the commission. And my memory is she won a special election, I think, back in 2015 when Stephanie Lynch gave up the seat to be elected to the city council. And so Stormy ran in a special election. and aired. And Mike, I'd have to go double check the records, but my memory is that's the only time she's ever faced a voter. She ran in a very small district, less than 10% turnout, less than 1,000 total votes to win that special election.
Wasn't she appointed to the seat first? Wasn't she appointed to the seat first?
She was appointed, yes. She was appointed. And then in March of 15, they had a special election to fulfill the balance of the term, which she won. And then my memory is the next three times, that would have been like 15, 19, and 23 when they run that race, concurrent with the governor's races and the state races, is when that cycle sets up. She ran unopposed. So she's only, from my perspective, she's only tested the ballot box one time in a very targeted special election for Caddo Commission. And now you're stepping out running in the big race. You know, technically there's a bigger race as if you go sheriff or parish wide. But this is probably the biggest race in Caddo Parish. It's way different dynamics than the commission. And she is president of the commission. She was elected by, I believe, by her counterparts. She's serving as president of the Caddo Commission. But the Caddo Commission is not one of the most well-respected organizations right now in politics. It has a lot of problems with voters. I mean, let me rephrase that. They run their business okay. No one's accusing them of any kind of great, you know, money missing or anything. But from a political standpoint, it's been a very politically challenging organization, with half fighting the other half, AG opinions, all kinds of things going on. And they don't deal with the things the city deals with. Shreveport voters had a long history of always electing someone that had already shown them that they could serve on the council level and then move up. And then they stepped aside with Adrian Perkins and Ollie Tyler. Those were two mayors back to back that had never served on the council. And then they ran back to Tom as the and others who in that race would have served on the council as well. So I think that's her biggest challenge, is trying to show voters, if she's going to run, that A, she's electable, because she's never really tested the ballot box from an electability standpoint, in my opinion. And B, does she understand and is she capable of running the third largest city in Louisiana?
Scott, does this change the possibility of Sam Jenkins now running?
I do find it interesting. I mean, Sam has never commented. I mean, Aaron made a comment there, and
right.
I enjoyed hearing that comment. Most of us, you know, watchers want to put Sam in that race. We think Sam is a perfect puzzle piece to pop in there. He may not be happy in the Senate because he's on the minority side down in Baton Rouge and can sit down there for, be honest, 8 more years, 10 more years. And he'd be a perfect. He served on the council. He served on the commission. He served in the House and the Senate. He knows everybody. And so I don't know what Sam does. I think Senator Jenkins needs to make that determination. I don't think it really changes the dynamics a lot. I think most of us prefer a head-to-head, one up, let's get one candidate on each side and do this. But we do have primaries. We do, and these will be open primaries. That closed primary system is only for federal elections and maybe some state elections, specific ones. But this would still be the open primary. But we're still going to have a race probably with 5 or 6 people in it. She would just be considered, be honest, a major candidate because she is an elected official coming from the president of the commission. She serves in her 4th term officially. We'll wait and see. Can she raise money? Does she have a voter base? She's never moved outside of, I think she's District 7 on the commission.
Well, Scott, what are her downsides? What are the things that Arsenault will attack her on?
Well, I think one of her downsides is going to be management. I mean, and so she's been on the commission for a number of years. You always would start with, what are her achievements? Has she just sat there now for 12, 13 years? What has she achieved? Number two, does she understand the complexities of a municipality? The parish is one thing. Yes, you're dealing with courts and judges and mosquitoes and animal shelters and the things they deal with. The city is way different. It's one of the largest employers in town. It has fire. It has police. It has a lot of entities that she's never dealt with as a politically elected official. Secondly, is she a manager? How would she manage? To be honest, I do not know what she even does in her, quote, day job. I only know her as an elected official.
She owns a business. She owns a pretty lucrative business, yeah.
And this is where we're going to have to learn.
Scott, we're talking with Scott Hughes, Shreveport political analyst. We know this huge flap about honoring Bernie Sanders, that a lot of people didn't like that. Do you think that's something that'll come back and be used against her?
Well, and that's, Mike, where I mentioned that coming from the commission could be a challenge, because the commission the last several years has really only, to be honest, if you go back 10 years, and she's been on the commission for a while. The commission used to be known for being very well run. I mean, they take care of their money. They have lots of resources. They were very quiet. Over the last four or five years, the commission has really only been in the news for kind of political stuff.
We didn't have commissioners ordering their clerk to create resolutions that they didn't vote on.
And so that I think is one of her challenges. When you come from the, when you're running as a commissioner, and it wouldn't matter if you were a Republican or Democrat commissioner running for this. If you're coming from the commission to run for this city, I think you're going to bring all that baggage with you. Now, whatever your personal enrollment was, involvement was, you're going to have that as well. I think the biggest challenge is you're stepping outside of a very limited district, Caddo District 7, and you're now going to try to reach out to the entire community, both crossing political and racial lines in the city of Shreveport, Caddo Parish, and also municipality versus parish. So you've really got to, she's going to walk the streets. That's a good idea. People need to meet her. But it creates a challenge because I really think she's going to struggle to reach out to half the city. The other party, that Deep South Shreveport, some of the white community, don't really know her that well. She needs to introduce herself. But so she's really, I think, in this first round, going to be trying to challenge what would be within her party, within her voter base. And she may be better known in that base, but that's where it's now going to be entirely dependent on who else gets in this race.
Scott, we got to take a quick break. Can you hold with us through the break?
Yeah, nothing like holding on a story we know nothing on, but happy to talk about it.
All right.
That's why you get the big bucks. Scott Hughes, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Caddo Parish Commissioner President Stormy Gage Watts announced her candidacy for Shreveport mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And political analyst Scott Hughes on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline.
I have my Target rule, Scott, that if I go stand outside Target or Walmart and ask 100 people who Stormy Gage Watts is, 90 people wouldn't have a clue. We're in the forest. You can't see the forest for the trees. How big a hurdle is that for her that people don't know who she is?
I think, as we were saying before the break, that's her biggest challenge. She was appointed to the position, then she ran in a special election, and then she's run three times unopposed. So I do think she's probably one of the lower profile elected officials in terms of people's general awareness. If she's going to run, which you said that you've talked to her, she is making the smart move. She does need to get out early. She's going to have to put a lot of effort into people meeting her, because I really think that there's basically half of Shreveport that has no idea who she is. And then in the other half of Shreveport, she's going to be very limited because she's only conserved the constituents of Caddo District 7, which was the old Steffi Lynch seat. It's part of Inner City Shreveport. I don't think she's even known within the Democratic. She's probably very well known in the Democratic.
I think you're being generous when you say half of Shreveport don't know who she is.
Well, I'm saying this. I'm saying there's half of Shreveport, Mike, that has no idea who she is. She's going to probably be a 0 to 5% awareness in that demographic of Shreveport. Mm-hmm. I think within the Democratic side of Shreveport, she's going to be well known. People are going to know the name. She's been around now for a long time. If you look at her political record,
how does she raise the money she's going to need? She's going to need a lot of money to unseat an incumbent mayor.
I think that's going to be the challenge. I don't know that she's ever had to raise the hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million, you may have to raise for a competitive mayor of Shreveport race. But again, getting out early is the wise thing. And again, no one's filed yet. Let's be clear. She's announced she's running. People do that sometimes. They test the water. We'll see what happens. The real question is going to be the rest of the field. If she's the only Democratic candidate, the only African-American candidate in the race, well, then I like her chances to make the finals. Let's just be honest. I evaluate electability. If she gets in a crowded field, well, then she's going to have to first differentiate herself from that field within her own party, within her own voter base. And before she gets the chance to cross over and perhaps run against the incumbent mayor, Tom Arsenault, let's be fair. Incumbent mayors, whether they are white, black, Republican, Democrat, they are hard to beat. Incumbents are hard to beat.
Well, that leads to my next question. Scott, in a one-on-one, how does she fare with Tom Arsenault? How do you see that coming out?
I think in a one-on-one, Tom Arsenault would beat her. I think Tom has been has done a good job as mayor. He's going to be well financed. He is the incumbent, and I don't see Miss Gagewatch having this big base right now. Of course, we're a year out from the race. Anything can happen. But I think Tom would love to have that election in a one-up. I think the reason many were looking at a Sam Jenkins, not to put the senator in the race, he hasn't said anything, is I think that becomes an interesting head-up race. I think that's someone that could cross over into the Republican Party, into the white community, that is a long-tested managerial electability political side. I think head-up, I don't really see it being much of a race with Tom against Miss Watch if she's the candidate.
Okay, let's go inside the Democratic Party locally. You're connected to a lot of those folks. Do you think there's been some behind-the-scenes dealings to say, she's our candidate, we're going to all get behind her, we're not going to put other people in this race, she's going to be our Democratic candidate? Do you think that's been happening?
I don't think that's probably happened. I'll say this, because, for the record, I am a registered Republican. I think most people know that. I do have friends in all the parties. But I don't think any party, I don't think the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the green, yellow, purple, whatever party, I don't think any party has the mechanism people think that it has, that they get together and say, this is our candidate. Matter of fact, in this one, being a Democrat, I don't think the Democrats have met and made any decision that she's their candidate. This sounds like she has decided there's an opportunity. She wants to get out. And again, I will give her credit, Mike. If she's going to do this, she is making the right decision. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, the people that move first can start to get funding. They can start to put people on the hot seat. And just like us, we're breaking news. We're taking two segments to talk about somebody most of our listener base had not heard of in 10 years.
One more thing. We're hearing
outside of the commission's issues.
We're hearing that there could also be a far right candidate that some of the Republicans are not happy with Arsenault. If we have a far right wing candidate in this race, does that shake things up considerably?
That could actually be more of a challenge to Tom than that candidate like Stormy. Yes, there's always been rumblings that Tom is not far enough right. But I think what you have is, and let's go to that side of the equation now. What you have there is a traditional argument right now within the Republican Party. You have people that believe Tom should be more conservative. You have people that want to go the other way. But then you get to the electability. I think one attraction of Tom is he is electable. He had served on the council before. He is a more moderate person. As an attorney, he has some skill sets in negotiation. And Tom has never minced words. He knows he has to work with the council that you get when you get elected. He knows he has to represent all his report. So I think Tom has moderated a little bit and tried to do the best that he can from that side. Now, in a primary system, and we're not closed primaries for mayor, but we effectively are in Shreveport. If we have a couple of R's running and a couple of D's running, you kind of get by de facto a primary system. Mm-hmm. So Tom's best chance to get reelected is to be the only R in the ballot, to move to that final ballot, and then he can appeal to crossover voters in the Democratic Party and the black part of Shreveport.
Scott, in the last 30 seconds.
But against conservatives, he could be beaten the first round.
In the last 30 seconds, do you think Republican power holders would hold off on anybody else to give Tom another term?
I don't think you'll see what I would call a significant challenger to Tom from the Republican side. Remember, Tom had challengers last time. We had people run. You always get, we kind of call them the fringe candidates because anyone's allowed to file. And there's always two or three of those. And Tom had several last time with R's next to their name. They weren't a threat to him. This would take someone who has money, who has name recognition. If that person doesn't run, I like Tom's chances to get through the finals. I think what we're really looking at is what is the Democratic, quote, primary going to be?
Yeah.
And who is Tom's opponent going to be? Stormy's apparently thrown her hat in that. And now we'll watch to see who else throws their hat in that ring.
Scott Hughes, Shreveport political analyst. Thanks, Scott. We appreciate you weighing in this morning.
Sure. Call me in the hour if somebody else gets in the race.
Well, Chris Crackman just sent me a joke. All right, I'll run for mayor.
Chris doesn't live in the district.
Yeah, I texted me. I said, we'll trade houses.
Thanks, Scott. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, what a day for Tom Arseneault to come in tomorrow.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Perfect timing.
Perfect timing is right. I really, and I'm going to be honest, I really was expecting Senator Jenkins to get in the race.
Right.
And I feel pretty certain now that's not going to happen.
Well, and people have said, brought up the name Tabitha Taylor as well.
Mm-hmm. I was told, nope, she's going to run for re-election.
Right.
She's got another term. She can run for the city council. I would think she would have more name recognition than Stormy Gage Watts. But I spoke with Miss Gage Watts just moments before we went on the air with Scott. And she said she's going to be walking the neighborhoods. She wants us to have a better city and better things for our children. And she's going to walk door to door. She's going to work her hiney off, it sounds like. That's what she's going to have to do. That's what Arseneault did, as we recall, when he was running.
Sure.
I mean, people didn't know him from Adam. He hadn't been on the council for decades. And so he had to get his name out there.
Today, of course, Veterans Day. Coming up after the break, we've got a segment from President Reagan from 1985 that we're going to play back for you. You don't want to miss that. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Of course, us being a military community, we love our veterans.
Absolutely. And this is from 1985. President Ronald Reagan at the time at Arlington Cemetery, honoring those who've given their lives and honoring all veterans.
A few moments ago, I placed a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier. And as I stepped back and stood during the moment of silence that followed, I said a small prayer. And it occurred to me that each of my predecessors has had a similar moment. And I wondered if our prayers weren't very much the same, if not identical. We celebrate Veterans Day on the anniversary of the armistice that ended World War I. The armistice that began on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. And I wonder, in fact, if all Americans' prayers aren't the same as those I mentioned a moment ago. For all we can ever do for our heroes is remember them and remember what they did, and memories are transmitted through words. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. And all we can do is remember. There's always someone who is remembering for us. No matter what time of year it is or what time of day, there are always people who come to this cemetery, leave a flag or a flower or a little rock on a headstone. And they stop and bow their heads and communicate what they wished to communicate. I think sometimes of General Matthew Ridgway, who the night before D-Day tossed sleepless on his cot and talked to the Lord and listened for the promise that God made to Joshua. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. We are surrounded today by the dead of our wars. We owe them a debt we can never repay. All we can do is remember them and what they did and why they had to be brave for us. All we can do is try to see that other young men never have to join them. Today, as never before, we must pledge to remember the things that will continue the peace. Today, as never before, we must pray for God's help in broadening and deepening the peace we enjoy. Let us pray for freedom and justice and a more stable world. And let us make a compact today with the dead. a promise in the words for which General Ridgway listened. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee.
With McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, if you're just joining us earlier this morning, Caddo Parish Commission President Stormy Gage Watts shocked the nation. Well, she announced her candidacy for Shreveport mayor.
Yep, she shocked the 318. What's our other area code now? I don't even know. We got another one.
We do have a new one.
She's running for mayor.
Going to run for mayor.
I did not expect that. That was not the name I was anticipating would jump in from the Democratic side. Everybody was talking like it would be Senator Sam Jenkins.
Right.
I'm sure.
And there was discussion about Tabitha Taylor.
There has been. I was told by someone close that Tabitha Taylor is going to run for re-election to her seat on the council.
Mm-hmm.
Stormy Gage Watts is termed out on the commission, and there was talk that she was going to run for a seat on the city council. I believe the James Green district in the Moortown area.
Does she live in that area?
I don't think she does. Now
have to live in the area?
She'd have to get a house before qualifying.
Not all council members have lived in their area.
That's been a little bit of an issue in the past. So she was going to probably have to move, or at least, have a place. She's going to have to work. She's not known, widespread. Right. She's going to have some to beat Tom Arsenault, an incumbent who's got a lot of money.
And those that do, like we got a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board that said, was Stormy Gage Watts part of the commission part of Bernie Sanders? And yes, she was.
Yes, and I would hazard to guess, and I'm hoping she will agree to come in and sit down in here for an hour and let's go over everything. I want to know, did she lead the charge? Who was the one who made the call to Jeff Everson to say, write this resolution honoring Bernie Sanders,
and let's issue it before we vote on it.
Right. Now, I think Stormy Gage Watts can make some points by saying that was a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. We should not have done that. We should not be given these resolutions ahead of time.
Because then that's like apologizing after you get caught.
Well, she should have apologized long before now.
Right.
Because now, like you say...
Because if she says it now, to me, it's
you're a candidate, yeah.
Well, you're only saying that because you're now running for office.
Mm-hmm. I mean, those commission members who did that need to own it and say, we put the horse before the cart. We shouldn't have done that. And we shouldn't have put our commission clerk in that position. You put a public official in a very precarious position. That leads me to suspect you. What else would you do with a government official?
Good point.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Hire my buddy to put up the fencing at this park. And we're going to get it right under what the bid law allows. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Right.
I then suspect everything you do. So you don't want to start off like that. You want a clean slate. She's got a long history in public service. She served on the commission. I believe it's 12 years. I may have that wrong. She's a business owner in the community. She's going to be known in the Democratic circles. She's well known. She's going to have to get out in the neighborhoods, and she's going to have to drum up some crossover support too.
Which she told us this morning. That's what she's planning on doing.
She absolutely did. The thing is there going to be another Republican on the far right challenging Arsenault? Will there be other Democrats that jump in the race? Has Sam Jenkins decided? Nope, not doing it. And what would polling numbers show with Stormy Gage versus Tom Arsenault? We'll have Tom in studio tomorrow.
Ask the Mayor segment tomorrow in the 7 o'clock hour. Get your questions in now on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker. The Shreveport Security Systems message board. Mm-hmm. That's in the free Keel app. If you don't have that downloaded, please download that so you can ask Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault your questions tomorrow. Lynch's Lawn and Fence, Ask the Mayor segment in the 7 o'clock hour. Happy Veterans Day.
Absolutely.
We salute our veterans. We thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And we love you. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.